Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tax Day, Wednesday, April 15th. I'm Sarith Hawk. More than 30 years after her death, the legacy of Mexican-American singer Selena lives on.
She continues to breathe life into people, right? We dress like her, right? We sing her songs. We try to move like her.
Today, we speak with a Fresno State professor who curated a new book about Selena. That conversation after these headlines. A Fresno County sales tax measure is one step closer to reaching the November ballot. As KVPR's Israel Cardona Hernandez reports, it's one of two competing measures for transportation funding.
Organizers of the sales tax proposal, known as Better Roads, Safe Streets, submitted their petition to the Fresno County Elections Office on Tuesday. The proposal was created to replace Measure C. That's a half-cent sales tax that funds transportation projects. But it's set to expire next year. Veronica Garibay of the nonprofit Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability is one of the organizers of the new measure.
We are submitting 32,000 signatures to qualify today, and the registrar of voters will have 30 business days to qualify to validate the signatures that we are submitting.
If approved, the measure will appear on the November ballot. Fresno County supervisors have proposed a similar competing sales tax measure. It's unclear if both could make it to the ballot. For KVPR News, I am Israel Cardona Hernandez.
An important court hearing is underway this week in Fresno for one of the teens accused of killing 18-year-old Caleb Quick. A judge will decide whether or not the girl will be tried as an adult or remain in the juvenile system. Investigators say that she acted as the getaway driver for her boyfriend, who shot and killed Quick at a McDonald's in Clovis last April. Prosecutors have charged both teens with murder. The hearing is expected to last 5 days. Another woman came forward Tuesday to accuse former California Congressman Eric Swalwell of sexual assault. David Wagner of our newsroom partner LAist has details. And a warning, this story contains details of an alleged rape.
Lana Drew said in a news conference that Swalwell offered to help her build her software company, but Drew said on their third meeting in West Hollywood in 2018, she believes he drugged her glass of wine.
I arrived at his hotel room. I was already incapacitated, and I couldn't move my arms or my body. He raped me.
Following multiple sexual misconduct allegations, Swalwell dropped his campaign for governor and resigned from Congress. In previous statements, he said he has made mistakes, but he plans to fight what he calls false allegations. David Wagner, LAist News.
A rock slide has caused the partial closure of more than 4 miles of Highway 140 on the way into Yosemite National Park. Right now, only one lane is open to traffic between Mid Pines and El Portal. Caltrans crews are working to clean debris and ensure the safety of the highway. No expected time frame has been given for reopening. The construction of a used vehicle inspection facility in Visalia could bring over 700 jobs to the region. According to the Sun Gazette, Carvana could be building a 172,000-square-foot facility in the Visalia Industrial Park. The potential jobs would add to last year's opening of a CarMax dealership in Visalia. Carvana already operates several large-scale inspection and reconditioning centers near Sacramento and Tracy.
We are in the middle of a literacy crisis.
Three candidates are running for the Fresno County Superintendent of Schools.
It's been such a difficult and challenging time, particularly in our community with regard to immigration enforcement.
I am also looking to be elected, not appointed, to this position.
Listen to the Candidate Forum, hosted by Fresno State's Maddie Institute, Thursday night at 7 on KVPR, and watch the live stream at kvpr.org/forum.
And now to our main story. The singer, Selena, was only 23 when she was shot and killed cutting short a breakthrough music and entertainment career that cemented her as a Mexican-American cultural icon across generations.
My name is Brandon Sandoval. I am 22 years old, and I'm a very big Selena fan. I have multiple posters of her around my room, and I have all her vinyl, actually. I've kind of gone hunting online and in record stores to try and find anything that I can of Selena.
That's one of Selena's biggest fans right here in our KVPR newsroom. 31 years after her death, Selena's star has only continued to rise, and with it has come a deeper examination of what her stardom has symbolized for the Latinx community and beyond. A new book called The Selena Reader offers some of that analysis. It's a collection of essays, fiction, and poems that study Selena's impact. Fresno's poet laureate, Aideen Medina, is one of the authors published in the book. Here she reads a portion of her poem titled The Flower Offering.
Here, flowers do not wither. They live on forever, crowned as queens. They never die. The hand of oblivion does not reach them. What bloomed with boundless love cannot be lost.
On the eve of Selena's birthday on April 16th, I spoke with one of the co-editors of The Selena Reader, Larissa Mercado Lopez. She's a Fresno State professor and the chair of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies Department. She spoke with me about her new book and the star's enduring legacy.
You know, something that I've been thinking about lately is how, you know, outside of a couple of key figures such as, you know, Cesar Chavez and Selena, we don't have in the Mexican-American community a lot of heroes that are as widely embraced by the mainstream as those two, right? And as, you know, we discovered, you know, more recently, you know, Cesar Chavez disappointed us. And Selena was such a figure of joy. She was such a figure of inspiration. She felt, you know, like she was part of our community. She had a very working class aesthetic that made her feel relatable while also still being very glamorous to a lot of folks. And she represented possibility for us. She was on the rise. She was about to cross over into the mainstream. She was making waves in Mexico. And so to lose her, it felt like definitely like, you know, someone who was lost, you know, far too soon, someone who we didn't get to really, you know, see what she was capable of. And so it was a pretty deep wound, you know, for the Mexican American community. No me queda más que perderme en un abismo
de tristeza y lágrimas. In your book, The Selena Reader, it's a collection of different writings. It looks at the impact of Selena from almost a scholarly lens. And there's a specific term that you use to call this afterlife of her stardom called a selenidad. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so selenidad is a concept. It was conceptualized by Deborah Paredes, and it refers to the generative afterlife of Selena. And it is the celebrations, it's the memorializations, it's the public remembrances, it's the, you know, the activities that followed her death that have continued to maintain her memory and her legacy. And so it's, you know, it's very dynamic. It's all the consumerism. You can walk into any Hot Topic store and find a Selena shirt.
Yeah.
I think one of the funniest things I've seen is her picture on a spoon rest at the Fresno Home and Garden show.
Wow.
Just very random objects. But it's all part of that larger landscape of public remembering.
You know, the book also explores the idea of mythology and religious motifs when Selena is depicted. How has that also influenced her legacy?
You know, that's something that we very much do within the Mexican American community. We, you know, we put our heroes up on these pedestals and make them almost saint-like figures. And I think in a way that has helped to kind of maintain and preserve this idea of who we want her to be, right? As I mentioned earlier, you know, Cesar Chavez, problematic, right? A lot of folks are coming out as problematic. Selena was not an explicitly political person. And, you know, she was pretty strategic, you know, in that. But then part of it's too, that just wasn't her platform, right? And so she didn't really open herself up to too much opportunity to be problematic. And also at that time, we didn't place those same expectations on celebrities, right, to be, you know, public with their or political with their platforms. And so I think she has been able to maintain this almost saint-like quality, right, that has enabled us to continue to revere her in the ways that we have.
Selena was known as the Queen of Tejano, and Tejano is a Texan of Mexican descent. Can you talk about how Tejano music is different from other styles of Mexican music?
It's very much an amalgamation of various genres. It's influenced by not only music from Mexico, which is also very influenced, right, by music from other countries and traditions, but also it has strong German polk, you know, influences, country western influences. It also, because of Selena, draws from other, you know, types of genres such as hip hop. She has a song where she raps a little bit, you know, in there. So it's a pretty playful, I think, genre that kind of takes on the characteristics and attributes of the cultures that reside within Texas.
And in putting all these stories together, did you find anything that surprised you in how Selena's memory continues to spark reflection and conversation within the community?
I don't think I was very much surprised by anything, but I think what it emphasized was just how much we continue to not only honor her, but also embody her. Like, she continues to breathe life into people, right? We dress like her, right? We sing her songs. We try to move like her. Some of the drag performers that are written about in the collection, you know, speak to that. Not that they're trying to be her, but the best way to honor her is to embody her, which is maybe not something that I see with, you know, with Aaliyah, who, you know, died around the same time and very early and has even been depicted on T-shirts, right, side by side with Selena. There's not that same kind of embodiment, but there is with Selena, right? This as if they are drawing a kind of a power from her.
Right. And it seems like from reading the book that she represents so much with identity, right? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think she is, you know, very relatable to a lot of, you know, Mexican Americans today who feel kind of at the crossroads of various, you know, cultural identities and traditions. She was very much, you know, a mestiza who kind of walked in that in-between space, who was you know, raised as an English speaker who learned Spanish later on, who was trying to navigate, right, those different worlds and felt the tension of it. But she, you know, is somebody that we've seen, you know, feel challenged by those tensions, but also try to rise above them. We see that especially depicted in the movie, right, with her humor and the ways in which, you know, we responded to her with love because she was trying, right? And to be Tejana, right, means to be at the intersections of those crossroads constantly. But it doesn't have to be an identity of fragmentation.
Fresno State professor Larissa Mercado-Lopez, co-editor of the new book, The Selena Reader, thanks so much for joining me in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And if you'd like to see Larissa speak about her book in person tomorrow, April 16th at 3:30 p.m., Larissa will be at the Fresno State Library Ellipse Gallery. The Selena Reader is available on most online bookstores. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org. Yo te di todo mi amor y más. Y tú no reconoces ni lo que es amar.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.